God is good.
All right, Brother Rich. Awesome, God. Thank you so much. Man, for the older guys, the music and the singing, man, it just reminded me of Jim Croce. Remember that, you know, the old guys, you know who that is? Yeah, it's just so beautiful, the music. Man, I just revealed my age, but man, it was just so wonderful. We got great musicians in this church, and we got great cooks. Man, food and music. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. We should get together and get the musicians and get the cooks. Wow, we would have a blast. Yeah. Diets out the window just for one night. And just in, imagine heaven, man. I hope heaven got food, because I know got music. This is great. Man. Each week I get to come to this wonderful place. And Monday is a great day because, you know, after you finish speaking, you get to go like, oh. And then by Tuesday, you just start gearing up again. And every week, I just get so excited to be here each week with my family. And you guys are so wonderful. You know, when I realized in my life, at age 37, when I realized in my life that I couldn't do this on my own, that I needed God, when I finally came to my senses over 18 years ago and realized that I needed God in my life, I came to church, and my plan was to come and attend, sit in the chairs, and maybe serve him kind of quietly, someplace way in the back on the side. I mean, not even doing ushering, just something, you know, out of the way, nobody could see me. That was my thoughts. That was my plans. And, you know, I tried that, but God had different plans for me. And I was like, okay. And I had to learn eventually to submit to God's plan, because, you know, every day we get up, we make plans, right? We get up, okay, first thing on my plans is prayer. First thing on my plans is do devotions, you know, and then if I don't have nothing in the morning, I'd love to get up. Like yesterday, I got up at 6. I did my devotions and made me a nice big old pan of fried rice. Oh, that's so delicious. I ate that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we have plans. Okay, I'm going to go work. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do that. But sometimes, you know, our plans change. And we got to be flexible. You know, some days I get up and I say, okay, because I do need to study, because I need to prepare messages every week. And so some days I get up, okay, this is going to be a great day to study. I don't have much appointments. And you get to the office, you turn on your computer, and you get going. And then your phone rings, and okay, somebody needs prayer at the hospital. So, okay, I gotta be flexible. I gotta understand that, you know, when you guys call me, it's not an interruption, because I get to serve you. That's my job. If you guys didn't call me and if you weren't here on Sunday, then I would have nothing to do. I mean, I could preach, but maybe my wife and my girls would be here. Maybe that's it. If you didn't call me, didn't come to church, you guys are not an interruption of my job. You are the purpose of what I get to do. And I, you know, even sometimes, like on my day off, I take Tuesdays off, right? So this Tuesday, on my day off, I got to go to the hospital, pray for one of our members going into surgery. The other month, I was at James' house. I was full of glue. We was laying tile in the bathroom. I mean, I was with glue all over on my pants, on my hands, and my phone rang. And somebody desperately needed someone to talk to. So I just dropped everything. Thank God that they were there to clean up my mess. I went, picked up somebody with all glue on my hands, and we sat and we talked for like 2 hours in my car with the air conditioning on. And I got to pray for him. I got to listen to him and offer scripture and everything. And, you know, It was a diversion from the plans that I had. And sometimes that happened. How many of you plan to do this, but God changes your plans? You just gotta go with it. You ever tried fighting it? Man, that's just not a good way to go. So sometimes you just gotta go with the plan that God has designed for you. And if you read the Bible, you would come to understand that, you know God, if you know God, you know that He has a fantastic plan. He has a plan for this country. He has a plan for this city. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your spouse, your children, this church. And those plans are really good. Sometimes it doesn't feel good when it changes, but they're really good. God has a really good plan for all of this. But on the other hand, do you know that Satan has a plan for this country? He has a plan for this city. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for you, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse. He has a plan also. So it's like, wow. If you think about it, you know, I knew God's plan was for me was good. But now I realize that Satan also has a plan for me. And would you like to know whose plan you are following? Whether it's God's or someone else. And hopefully this morning, we get to look at those two plans and you be the judge of whose plan you're following. In chapter 23 of Jeremiah, Jeremiah compares God with idols. And of course, there is no comparison with God and idols. But after discussing the superiority of God to idols, Jeremiah continued his temple address by describing what was going to happen to Jerusalem, the coming destruction and the exile. The people of Jerusalem were gathered, were to grab all their things and leave the land. He was going to take them away for 70 years. See, the Jewish people had their plans, but God had other plans. Jeremiah 10:23. I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself, nor is it in a man who walks to direct his steps. So Jeremiah concluded his temple address with a prayer to God. The prophet admitted that, you know, our lives cannot be considered our own, as though we can do whatever we want, take our own step, but God is the one who is in control, and only those of us who let God direct our ways will be truly blessed. You see, God wanted to take his good news to the world through the Jewish nation. But they were disobedient. They didn't listen. You know, after all the miracles we've seen coming out of Egypt, they didn't listen. So God had to shake it up a little bit. He had to change their plans. So what did he do? He had the Babylonians come and take him captive. 70 years in captivity. How can that be good? You think, right? That's terrible. Being captive for 70 years. But God did that. And if you read the Bible, why did he do that? He said, because when they return to me, they will return with all their heart. And if you understand that, okay, now I can see the good plan of it, even if it didn't seem good. And that, you might say, that's not good at all, but it's a 70-year lesson that they had to learn. How many of you had to discipline your child? I mean, that doesn't seem good, not from a parent's point, not from a kid's point. But if you're disciplining your child to keep them out of jail, then it's good, right? You know when your parents used to tell you, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. Baloney. But now when you became a parent, you understood that saying. Because when you gotta give your child cracks, it hurts. Your heart hurts. It's sore. And it doesn't seem good to them, but in your eyes, you have their best interest in mind for a better outcome. And sometimes when we do that, we don't understand. So here it is. Number one, God's plan for us is good. And sometimes it may not seem good in our eyes, especially when, you know, when you wander and you go astray and you're not in church for 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and then God gotta go, ouch, God, that hurt. What's up? I thought you loved me. Yes, the Lord disciplined those he loves. Amen? And if you've been on that side, you think this is not good, but if it gets you to come back, then it's good. Amen? Psalms 45. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done. And your thoughts toward us, there is none to compare with you. For if I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Now David expressed appreciation for the Lord's countless acts of deliverance. And he tried to speak of all of them, all of the things God has planned for his own. And David was saying, man, if I had to count them, they'd be too numerous to tell. I mean, if you were to try and count all the things God did in your life, they would be too numerous to count. I know for me, they would be. God's plan for us is good. So why would Jesus die, suffer and die on this cross for you and I, only to torture us? Doesn't make sense. It does not make any sense. He suffered and died on that cross so you and I can have this great life. And that's not the character of God, to cause us to suffer for no reason. Now, if you read your Bible daily, you would know that God only wants good for us. Not necessarily easy, but good. It may not be pleasant at times, but it's good. When James tells us to count it all joy when you encounter various trials, you may not understand that. You may not want to count it joy. But if you're mature and you understand what the trials are doing and what is causing in you, then you would understand why he says that. Because it's producing better character in us. If you look back on your life, if you look at the tough times that you struggled through, and if you look at what those tough times produced in you, because I believe that when we struggle and we go through our trials, those are the times that develop our character. That's what it did for me. All the tough, all the hard times that I had to spend on my knees because I was struggling, either spiritually, physically, financially. Those are the stuff that developed the character that you see in me today. What did the easy times produce? The easy times, I get them, God. I get them, no worry. I don't need prayer this morning because my checking account has enough money, my car has enough gas, my refrigerator is full. I get them. No need worry. Right? But the tough times, oh Lord, I need money in my checking account. I need gas in my car. I don't have anything for dinner tonight. Lord, I need your help. See what I mean? Even if it may not seem pleasant, God's plan for us is always good. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works together for the good of those who love Him. How many of you love God? Then you claim this, who have been called according to His purpose. All these things, they work together. While God's providence is working together, His Spirit is working. They are working together through the trials, the tribulations, the afflictions, the persecutions. It is working for good. It produces something in us, all of it. So God's plan for us is for good. Sometimes it may not seem that way, but believe the word, because it is. Number two, Satan's plan for us is evil. John 10:10. And this summarizes both plans in one scripture. The thief comes only, you underline that word only, to steal, kill, and destroy. Only steal, kill, and destroy. That's his only purpose. And then Jesus says, I came that they, you and I, may have life and have it abundantly, full, overflowing. Two of these plans that are out there for us. One of them is God's plan. One of them is Satan's plan. God's plan, abundant life. Satan's plan, kill, steal, destroy. We can see those two plans in this one verse. Jesus defined these two competing plans. One verse, the thief, Satan, kill, steal, destroy. Jesus, abundant life. Man, right there already. Right? We want the abundant life. Amen? Jesus came that we could have life. Whereas Satan's plan can be described in one word as well. Death. His goal, kill, steal, destroy. He will do that to anything positive, anything wholesome. Satan's agenda for us is evil. Not passive, not kind of bad. It's extremely wicked, cruel, evil, vicious, demonic, appalling. Satan deceives, lies, brings temptations, gets us to sin, whether it's to treat someone poorly, to get a good thing in a bad way, or bad time. He also gets us to do things that bring shame to our heart, makes us depressed, ruins our relationship. Sound familiar? You have any of those in your life? I think a lot of us, when we think about Satan, we either err on the side of thinking too much about him, or we think too little about him. Like, oh, Satan, you know? When we have Jesus in 1 John 4:4, anybody tell me what that says? Anybody? So I heard somebody say it. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. So sometimes we think of him like, whoa, too much, or we think, we don't take him seriously. He is real. He is powerful. But we need to know Satan is real and powerful, and all of us are in an invisible war with temporary and eternal consequences. And God's word reminds us in Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. But if you love God, if you love God, and when Satan attacks you, God can use that to bring about strength in you. He can use whatever the devil causes you harm. He can turn that around for your benefit if you love God. We are in this battle. Satan is real. His plans for you are real. Just as real as God's plans for you are real. And I want you, I want you to enjoy the benefits of God's plans for your life, which is abundance. I don't want you following Satan's plan and experiencing the kill, steal, destroy in everything in your life, everything wholesome and good. So the thing is, number three, whose plan will you follow? I think we cannot leave it to choice. It's like, okay, whatever, I go to church and we'll... I really believe in my heart, you got to make an intentional choice, an intentional plan to follow Jesus. And that intentional plan is, you know, you pray every day, you read his word every day, you obey him every day. And you intentionally make it like, okay, I will do this. Nah, I feel like reading the Bible today, so I will read the Bible. Tomorrow, I'm kind of tired this morning. I read yesterday. I should be covered for today. I think we need to make intentional plans to follow the Lord. James 4:15 says, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. See, they were planning to do business in different cities and different towns instead of asking God, what should we do? And I think we need to ask God, God, what are your plans for me today, tomorrow, next year? 5 years, 10 years, what are your plans for me? Because I want to follow your plans. I want to intentionally follow your plans. Proverbs 19:21. Many plans are in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord will stand. You know, instead of us making these huge, big plans, I think we got to expand to include God in the picture. We should make plans, but allow God by his power to have authority to change that plan at any given moment by his power. We just gotta be flexible. Amen? We are in a battle for souls. And our relationships, our life is constantly being bombarded by agents of grace, but at the same time, by agents of evil. When you come here and you get the blessings, the encouragement, you get surrounded by brothers and sisters, encouraging words. But at the same time, every day when you're out in the world, you get bombarded by agents of evil. And I've been to some of your workplaces, and I hear the cussing. And I think like, oh my gosh, you gotta come through this every day? Holy smokes, I'd be praying for you. I've been there, I forgot what it was like when I was working at HPM. The cussing, the swearing, the sexual harassment, and I've seen all those. And I've been in the church, working with the church for over 15 years, and somehow you kind of get sheltered. You're like in a cocoon. That's why if you want me to come to your workplace, call me up. I will come. And those of you who work in a Christian working place, thank God every day for that. Because I've seen the non-Christian workplace, I've been there, and I hear what goes on, and it's not fun. You are being bombarded with evil all day long, 40 hours a week. And sometimes it's just hard. See, these agents of evil, they aren't the very obvious thing sometimes. You know, it's like the sexual abuse of children, murder, genocide. You know, I think 99% of the time, these agents of evil, the demonic activity that we ever face, they come packaged in nice, sweet, innocent things that subtly, deceptively steers us on the wrong course, diverts us to the wrong plan. And sometimes we may never know it until we're like, how did I get so far off track? We get so far off track because we don't intentionally plan to follow God's plan for our lives. See, the enemy, Satan, kills, steal, and destroy. He tries to divide us, get one of us to wander off by ourselves, and then attack. See, because the devil is out there, like prowling around, looking. He's constantly looking for someone to devour. He wants to divide us with our friends, our mates. He wants to divide us in our small groups, divide us with our parents, our kids, the people at our workplace. And he also wants to attack us with lies, condemnation, the feeling that we just don't measure up. His plans are subtle. And God's plan for us is outlined in the Bible. If you would read it, understand it, apply it, and intentionally follow it. But we need to get in the Word so that we know whose plan we are following. So think about it. Look in the mirror. Evaluate your life. Ask yourself, ask God, God, am I following your plan? Am I following your plan for my life? Because you cannot follow my plan for your life, because God has a plan for me, he has a plan for you. And you need to ask God, am I following your plan for my life? Because you cannot follow my plan for your life. You tried following somebody else's plan for your life, doesn't work. Frustrated. Ask yourself this week. Take the time. God, ask him, am I following your plans, your good plans for my life? Or am I off track? Am I like halfway in between? And if so, ask him to help you get back to what he has planned for your life. Amen? I ask the worship team to come up. You know, first Sunday, we normally take communion, but it's on me. We ran out of communion cups because we do so well on communion, and forgive me. I realized that this morning when we took up the cups, we had 20 people. It's like, gosh, Lord, I am so sorry. So please, I ask your forgiveness. I immediately got on my phone, and I ordered another 1,000 communion cups. It's like, oh. As soon as I realized that, I drove to my office hoping that I'd have an extra box in there. No box, so it's on me. You want to take me out back and stone me later, then, you know. I ask that you would have grace. Shower me with grace. So hey, God's plan for you is good. God's plan for you is to be in heaven. Amen? So I am going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to give any one of you a chance to receive Jesus, because that's his plan for you. And if you have never done so, then, you know, I ask that you pray with me at this time. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? God bless you back there. Let me put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. They are begun to follow your plan for their life, which first of all is salvation. So Lord, help them to walk with you. Help them to follow your plan, your great plan for their lives. We thank you so much. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you need information on beginning your walk with Jesus as a follower of Christ, there is a Yes booklet on the greeting table. Please take one and read it. It'll be so helpful in this relationship you have with Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Would you all stand and join us as we sing and shout to the Lord?
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.